through 7. And it reads, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the world was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he commended the world, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith." This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you give strength to those who are in need of you. And we put our trust in you this morning, Father. Therefore, Lord, open our eyes that we may hear your word. Father, that we may know your voice. Father, speak to our hearts. Strengthen our wills that we may serve you, not only today, but for now and eternity. And Lord, we ask that we may get to know you more, get to trust you more, get to see you more, that through the written word and the proclamation of the spoken word, we may know you as the living word. For it is through Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever glorified, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, years ago, there was a captain of a large ship who set out to sea, and he set out to sea with his family to a faraway port. One night when they were traveling, or sailing along, rather, everyone was asleep, but then the ship started to rock back and forth because a strong storm had risen, and the wind threatened to take over the ship and sweep it off its course. Everyone was struck with fear. They thought the ship might capsize. Everything in the ship that was movable was flipped over on its end. People falling, things sent tumbling and crashing to the ground. The passengers became suddenly aware that their lives were in grave danger. Everybody on the ship was frightened. The captain's daughter was asleep in her cabin, and the commotion woke her. And when she awakened, she cried out in fear, "What is going on? What is happening?" They told the captain's daughter about the storm. And a young girl looks up and she asks if her father is on the deck. To which they reply, "Yes, he has to turn the helm." And she went back to sleep, content, knowing that it was safe because her father
was the captain. This young girl expressed complete and utter safety and security, knowing who was steering the ship. As Christians, we have to express the same certainty, the same conviction. You see, this girl put her complete trust and faith in her father, and we must do the same. We must put our complete and total trust in our Heavenly Father, knowing that He is steering the ship. That should be the attitude of every single Christian. We must have a complete trust and faith in God. And when we face through the seas of life, when the storms of life try and sweep us off of our feet, when they try and steer us off our course, we must remain steadfast and firm in our belief that God is in control. And the Bible tells us that's how we must live. In the book of Habakkuk, it says, "The just, the righteous, shall live by faith." Faith has to be your way of life. It should be the way of life for every Christian. Throughout the Bible, we are reminded that faith is a way that we should present ourselves daily. We are reminded that faith is a lifestyle of the believer. There are many things that come across our bows. There are many things to try and steer off course, but we must remain strong. We must remain firm in our faith, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Listen, the Christian life is a life that is built on faith. One person said it this way: faith is the issue on which the matter of salvation depends. It is the key that unlocks the door. It is the key that unlocks the door to eternal life. Faith is the channel by which we receive the benefits and the blessings of Christ. It is how we receive the work of Christ applied to our life. Faith is the cup by which God pours His blessing into us. It is by which we receive His saving grace. That is why we must look always to God. We must always focus our attention on Him, looking to Him as the author and the finisher of our faith. But it's just not any type of faith. It has to be a faith that is in God. It has to be a faith that points towards God. It has to be a faith that is trusting in God. In other words, it has to be a visionary faith. By visionary faith, I mean that a faith that produces spiritual wisdom. By visionary faith, I mean a faith that produces spiritual worship. And by visionary faith, I mean a faith that produces spiritual wealth. Look with me at the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. It says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hope for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, by faith, people receive their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible." Here in the book of Hebrews, we see the phrase, "now faith." That phrase points back to the previous verse in the 10th chapter, where faith was talked about as this idea of putting complete and total trust in God. The book of Hebrews doesn't so much give us a definition of faith as much as it gives us a description of faith. Here we don't see what faith is as much as we see what faith does. Now faith does this. Now faith puts its trust, puts its hope in God. To have faith is to believe in the promises of God. But before you can believe in the promises of God, you must have faith in God. And in Hebrews 6, chapter 11, in verse 6 of chapter 11, it says that without this faith, it is impossible to please God. It says that before we can please God, we must know that he exists. We must have our faith in him. So how can you believe him if you don't know him? How can you trust him if you don't know him? Well, that's the conundrum that we find ourselves in every day. In fact, that's what the picture that is painted in the book of Romans. In the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse beginning of verse 18, the Apostle Paul states it this way. In the book of Romans, verses 18 through 24, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed against all unrighteousness and ungodliness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what is known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. But his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, they have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world. And the things that are made have been made, so that they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him. They did not trust him. They did not believe him. They did not perceive him as God. Nor did they give thanks to them, nor did they even acknowledge him, nor did they praise him. But they became futile in their thinking, foolish in their hearts, and their hearts were darkened. Claiming that they are wise, they became fools, because they exchanged the glory of the immortal for images resembling mortal men. They made graven images of God. They made birds and animals and creepy things. And they said, this is our God." Paul says that these people are foolish, ignorant. What this passage is telling us is that the world can clearly see a testimony. They can clearly see who God is. They know all about God. But people, they don't see God. Creation bear witness, but they don't hear the words. They don't see the evidence. Although it is plain, it is clear, it is impossible to miss, they miss it. Why? Why is it missed? Why is it that they can't see who God is? Paul says, because their heart is darkened. Listen, it is only through the power and grace of God that we are able to see God. That is why it takes faith. That is why faith reveals the existence of God. Faith shows us who God is. Faith reveals to us that there is a God. Listen, everybody exercises faith in something. Everybody exercises faith in almost every moment of their life. You exercised tremendous amount of faith this morning. You came to church this morning, and you know what you did? You walked in and you sat down. You trusted that that pew, that that chair was going to hold you up. You didn't check the manufacturing date. You didn't test its durability. You didn't move it to see if it was stable. You just came in and plopped right down. You exercised a great deal of faith. You believed that that chair was going to hold your weight. And I know that some of you, that takes a great deal of faith to believe that chair is going to hold your weight. But yet you exercised that faith. You know what else you put faith in? Almost every area of your life you use faith. Consider this. Have you ever been sick? Has anybody ever went to the doctor when they were sick? You go to the doctor, and a doctor gives you this prescription, this illegible writing on a sheet of paper. And you take that little illegible writing to the store. maybe CVS or some other pharmacist, and you give it, and you give that paper that no one can read to that pharmacist, and you trust that that pharmacist can not only read what it says, but actually has the product, whatever it is. And then they go in the back and they put it in little pills or the little capsules, put it in a bottle, and says, take one of these three times a day. And you do it. You trust it. You trust that the pharmacist was able to read the writing. You trust that the writing was what it needed to say, and you trust that whatever that little white pill is going to help your infirmity. You exercise a great deal of faith. What's the difference between that kind of faith and saving faith? Well, the difference is this. Saving faith, the faith that saves your soul, is only as strong as the object to which you put that faith in. Think about this. Muslims put a lot of faith in the Quran. They put a lot of faith in Muhammad. An idolater puts a lot of faith in a graven image. The Buddhist put a lot of faith in those little statues. The Hindu has 1,000 different statues, and they put a lot of faith in those statues. The philosopher puts a lot of faith in his ideas. The materialist, he puts a lot of faith in his wealth or in his money and his things. But here's the thing. None of that can save you, because the only thing that can save you is the strength of the faith that you put it in. And the object of faith in each of these cases is wrong. They're putting their faith in the wrong thing. Saving faith is faith that rests upon God. And that brings me to the next point. Visionary faith is not only faith that reveals the existence of God, but visionary faith recognizes the word of God. Looking once again at Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things unseen. The writer of Hebrews tells us that faith is assurance and conviction. You know what that means? That means faith is an action word. It's attitude, assurance, conviction, action. Faith is attitude and action. What this means is that both attitude and action are needed to express faith. Faith is a certain attitude towards something, and then you act upon that attitude. Look at verse 3 of 11. It states that, by faith we understand that the world was created by the word of God. What that means is that faith entails knowing the physical world was formed as a response to the powerful, dynamic, personal word of God. To know that the world was created by God takes spiritual wisdom. It takes spiritual insight. Someone once said that faith is believing in what you know ain't so. Well, trusting in something that you don't know is true, that's not faith. That's the opposite of faith. Faith is believing and knowing that the world was birthed, the world was born by the very word of God. And it is a conviction that is not based on nothingness, but rather it is a conviction based on the very word of God. It is based on God's holy word. The story is told about Albert Einstein. For those of you who don't know, Albert Einstein is the one who came up with the theory of relativity, E equals MC squared. Well, most of us have no idea what that means. They asked, a reporter came up to Mrs. Einstein and asked her if she understood the theory of relativity. Now, Mrs. Einstein was a very intelligent woman. And she looked that reporter in the eye and she said, no, I do not know about the theory of relativity, but I do know Albert, and he can be trusted. As Christians, we may not have all the answers to life, We may not know how to get out of every single problem, how to navigate all of life's challenges. But listen, we know Jesus and he can be trusted. Listen, the faith that makes a difference is a faith that puts itself under the dictates, under the restraints, the faith that puts itself completely under the control of the Word of God. And knowing that I am secured in Christ, knowing that he is to be trustworthy, therefore I can believe everything that he says. That is the heart of the Christian faith. That is the heart of the Christian life, is trusting in God solely and completely. Visionary faith reveals the existence of God. It recognizes the word of God, and it rests in the blessings of God. Listen, there are those who feel that life may have left them by. That faith is to put faith in God is to put faith in a fool. There are people who believe that faith is nothing more than a leap in the darkness. But these people fail to realize, however, that faith is not walking blind. Faith is not just trusting in darkness, but rather faith is trusting in the strength of Christ. Faith is resting in the love of God. Faith is trusting that Jesus is going to remain true to himself. You see, Jesus says that I will be with you forever, and I will always be next to you. And faith is saying, Lord, I trust you, and I give you my hand to carry me through. Faith is our response to the promises of God. Faith enables us to believe and to live according to what God says. Faith is based on the word of God, on the promise of God. It is based on the power of God, knowing that he is the one who is holding this thing together. Sometimes we think we got to get it together ourselves. Sometimes we think we need to be the one steering the ship. But we need to be like that young lady, that little girl in the story earlier. We need to be like her and just say, Lord, I trust that if you are at the helm, if you are in the control room, if you are steering, then I can believe that where I'm going is a good place. I can believe that where I'm going is the place where you want to take me, and where you want to take me is a place of spiritual rest and blessing. Because I can trust in you. Faith empowers us to move to a future without knowing the destination. Think about what it says about here in the book of Hebrews. It says in verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructing an ark for the saving of his household. Noah constructed an ark based off of a design he's never seen before. How do I know he never seen the design before? Because God had to give him all the dimensions. And then he built this ark. But get this, not only did he use blueprints that he's never saw, he didn't even know what rain looked like. He had to trust that God was going to bring the sky down and trust in that alone. Noah acted in faith, resting in God, knowing that the blessings of God was only as true as the word of God. Do you trust in God's word to the point of walking out and stepping out in faith? Do you have the confidence to know that your future belongs to him? Your future belongs to God. You may not be able to see perfectly. You may not be able to see clearly, but do you see that God is in control? Can you rest in the fact that God will honor your obedience to his word? That God would enable you to fulfill his commandments? Can you step out into a future to an unknown destination, knowing that wherever you go is where God wants you to be? That is what it means to be faithful. That is what it means to have faith, to trust, not in the destination, but trust in the one who is sending you. Trust in the word of God. So faith produces spiritual wisdom, but faith also produces spiritual worship. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It says, and with faith, it is impossible to please him, to please God. For whoever draws near to God must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. It says that without faith, you cannot please God. You cannot please God if you don't know the word of God. You have to study God's word. That is why you must be saturated with scripture. To have faith, we must be saturated in the scriptures, into the word of God. In order to tap the endless resources of God, in order to get into the infinite wealth of God, we must be under the power of God's word. The believer must exercise faith and act in obedience in accordance to the word of God. Faith, according to Paul in the book of Romans, it says that in Romans 10, 17, it says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That means that if we're having a hard time in our walk with God, if we're having a hard time with our trusting in God, I can guarantee you we're having a hard time reading the word of God. We're having a hard time putting the word of God in our life. Because those who have the word of God saturated in them, those who have the word of God oozing out of them, those who have the word of God so deep down inside of them, that are those who are full of faith, full of the power of God, full of trust in God, knowing that he is God. When one is prompted by the word of God, he is led by the Spirit of God. And that leading of the Spirit of God gives its expression in faith. It says that I will go wherever you send me. I will do whatever you tell me. So faith is being saturated in the word of God. But faith is also being separated from sin. We must be separated from sin. The writer of Hebrews goes on to tell us that Abel offered an acceptable sacrifice, but Cain's was rejected. Why was Cain's sacrifice rejected and Abel's sacrifice accepted? Well, it says that because Abel acted in faith. Abel was commended because of his righteousness. You see, when we give ourselves to God, what we're telling God is that we are no longer belonging to the world, but rather we are belonging to him. And our faith separates us from the sins of the world. Our faith enables us to live a different life because our faith transforms our life. You see, it's impossible to please God if we're in sin. And the only way that we can get out of sin is by trusting in the grace of God to remove our sins. And that is what we call faith. That is why we call it saving faith, because it is this trust that believes that God will transform us into the image of his son. And it says in Ephesians that faith is not from us. It says that is not in and of ourselves, but that is a gift of God. That is why it's called grace. You see, grace enables us to trust that God will do what he said he would do. Faith enables us to trust that God will perform all the deeds that he said he would perform. And get this, if God can change your heart from that of a sinner to that of a saint, what will he not be willing to do for you? You mean to tell me that you can't trust that God will help you with that bill? You mean to tell me you can't trust that God would help you with that child? But God can transform you and make you a saint. He can take your darkened soul and make it white as snow, but he can't open a door for a job for you. You see, if you're trusting God for your salvation, you need to trust him for the salvation in every area of your life. And that is why you are secure in your faith. You see, faith, we are secured in the Savior by our faith. Our faith secures us in the Savior. Our faith gives us the opportunity to trust in God and to rest in his arms and to know that he has us and we don't need to do it ourselves. Jesus says that all that God gives me will come to me, and I will by no means cast them away. God will not reject those who put their faith in him. And he will secure your life for you. He will secure your salvation for you. He will hold you in his hands like a young child is held by the mother who nurses him and loves him. God will nurse you and he will hold you and he will love you not only today but for all eternity. And you can trust him and you can believe in him. And that means that no matter what the world throws at you, no matter what the world tries to point you towards, God will be your salvation. God will be your security blanket. I remember my daughter, she would have this nasty little blue blanket. I call it nasty because we tried to wash it, but boy, she took it everywhere she went. Everywhere she went, she would drag that. Ooh, I tell you, we go to the store, the blanket's there. We go down to visit family, the blanket is with her. One day, I left the blanket. I said, I'm tired of this. We went to visit family, and I was like, I'm done with this blanket. I don't want to see it. It doesn't even get clean anymore. My wife has to wash it every other day. So I left it. You know what happened? All the way back home to get the blanket. That was her security. That was her comfort. I wonder, do we find Christ the same way? Do we find comfort in him? If we go a day without spending time with the Savior, are we crying like little babies, reaching out for him? Or is it just, well. What is your relationship like with God? What is your security level like with God? Do you put your complete and total trust in him? Do you believe in him? Are you walking with him? Because that is the only way that you can produce the spiritual wealth that you need to have. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, it says, by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he did not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. Elsewhere, the Bible says that Enoch walked with God. And then there's another scripture that says Enoch was a friend of God. Why? Because Enoch believed in God. He trusted in God. You see, visionary faith produces spiritual wealth. And with that spiritual wealth, it brings fellowship with God. Faith brings fellowship. It brings connection. It brings partnership with God. We are connected to God. We have oneness with God because of the faith that we have. And if we walk with God the way that Enoch walked with God, God will continue to bless us the way that he blessed Enoch to the end of the age. How is your fellowship like? How is your partnership like with God? Are you truly partnering with him in your life? What is your spiritual walk like? How are you behaving when the lights are off? How are you behaving when no one is looking? What is your fellowship like with God? Are you a Christian only on Sunday? I call you guys Super Bowl Christians or football Christians. You're Christian only on Sunday for a couple of hours. Kickoff is at 10:30. Maybe we go to overtime in a fellowship hall. But when the game is over, you go back home. Faith is trusting and believing and walking with God all the time. It is believing that he is going to be there. Now the question is, if we truly believe he's going to be there, do we act like it? Because sometimes we do things that say that we don't. Sometimes we do things that say the complete opposite. We worry about life that we shouldn't be worrying about. We have anxiety over things that we shouldn't have anxiety about. And then other times, we sin in ways that we shouldn't because we think that no one's looking. But it says that Enoch had fellowship with God. He walked with God. And let me tell you, there is something about walking with God. There is something about knowing that God is there. There is a certain liberation. There is a certain freedom. You see, faith brings freedom in God. You can rest in God. You can trust in him. You can be with him. You don't have to try and figure it out on your own. You don't have to try and worry about what's going to happen next. Jesus says that the birds of the air have nests. He says they don't worry about what they're going to put on. He says they don't worry about what they're going to eat. He says God takes care of them. God is going to take care of you because he says, how much more precious are you? There's a certain liberation. There's a certain freedom of knowing that God is in control. My wife never wants to drive. Well, she doesn't want to control the steering wheel or the pedal, but she loves to drive. I'm controlling the steering wheel, but she wants to tell me how fast, how slow, and what time. Turn here. No. Slow down. Whoa. Left. And she never knows where she's going. But God help me if I don't make the left turn when she tells me to. And then I look at her and she says, okay, I'll just be quiet. I'll let you control. When she's driving, you know what I do? I go to sleep. I fall asleep. I don't have to worry about it. If we get there, we get there. If we don't, we don't. There's a certain freedom of letting her have the control. I think we're more like my wife with God in a steering wheel than we are like me with my wife in a steering wheel. I think when it comes to our life, we want to be the one to tell God, no, Lord, too fast. Oh, no, too slow, Lord. Come on, hurry up. I need this. No. We're going to go right, Lord. No, left, Lord. Instead of just resting and just saying, Lord, you take the wheel, and then I am going to rest in you. I am going to be secure in you. I am going to trust in you because I know that wherever the destination is, you will take me there. That is having faith in a future that is unseen. That is having freedom in God. And then when we have that type of freedom in God, when we have that type of trust in God, then we are fruitful for God. You see, because faith brings the fruitfulness of God. Noah, it says, preached for 400 years the same message. You know what that message was? A hammer and a nail. Building an ark for a rain that no one ever knew. But here's the thing. Noah didn't just trust for himself. Noah trusted for his family. And it says that his entire family was saved because of the faith that he expressed in God. That is fruitfulness. That is the fruit of having saving faith in God. Your entire life will be transformed, but you have to go out and preach the message. You have to go out and share that message with Christ. Listen, if you're sitting here and you are not moving for God, then you are not truly exercising faith in God. If you're sitting here and you're not worshiping the way that God wants you to worship, if you're not serving the way that God wants you to serve, then you are not producing the fruit that God wants you to produce. And you are displaying that you are not truly trusting in God. Because true service to God is faith in God, and true faith in God is sharing the blessings of God. If we truly believe that there was such a thing as hell, then we need to go out and tell people about it. Because who wants their family member to rest in eternal damnation? Do you truly hate your neighbor that much that you want to see them tormented for eternity? And if that's the case, then are you truly having faith in God? Because faith in God produces the fruit of God, and the fruit of God is the Spirit of God. It's the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, kindness. Where's the love? Where's the joy? Where's the kindness? All of those things come as a result of walking with God. So the question is, how closely are you following God? How closely are you believing in God? How securely are you trusting in God? Visionary faith accepts God's word and it acts on his word. And it says that, Lord, I will go wherever you send me. Lord, I will do whatever you tell me. Lord, I will say whatever you want because I know that you have my future and my future is secure in you. And I know that because my future is secure in you, the blessings that I have can only come from you. You see, going back to verse 6, it says, God is a rewarder of those who seek him. We want the rewards, but we don't want the seeking. We want the reward, but we don't want the service. We want the fruit, but we don't want the planting. You cannot have a harvest without planting a seed. You have to plant the seed, and that seed is your faith in Christ, and that seed is walking faithfully in Christ. So as we move out into the world around us, let us remember that God is the one who is sending us. And if he is the one who is sending us, then we can rest assured that we will reach our destination. Will you walk with me there? Will you continue to follow Christ and help transform this world and into the loving place that God wants it to be? Will you help me do that just one person at a time? Sharing your faith with just one person at a time. Serving God just with one service at a time. Trusting God with one step at a time. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us to live for you. Help us to catch the visionary faith that produces wisdom and strength and the fruitfulness that only comes from you. Help us to live out these truths in all of our lives and walk with you one step at a time, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please stand with me.